This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Greetings, everybody. How is everybody doing today? My name is Billy Ray Valentine, and I'm coming to you live, not from New York City. I am currently in Washington, D.C. I've been touring everything around here. Beautiful place. Got a couple of more places to hit up before I get out of here. Wasn't sure I was going to go live here tonight, but it being Easter Sunday, I really appreciate everyone that's hanging out here today. And I don't know if you guys are doing something with your family or not. Either way, you guys are here. I appreciate it. So I figured let's get something in here. And I got a very special guest for each and every one of you that stuck around as my love for all of you. I got the legendary Jordan Maxwell is here with me, the teacher. And we're going to talk about Easter and its origins and the whole deal. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. Jordan Maxwell, welcome back to the Infinite Fringe. How are you, sir?
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, and we'll find out how I'm doing pretty soon, pretty quick. Right. We'll never know. So, but again, thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate every time you come on and talk to us here at Truth Frequency Radio, iHeartRadio. Listen, you have not a new website, but people tend to get your websites confused for whatever reason. And I want you to tell everyone where they can find you off the bat, just right now, what your actual website is so there is no confusion. Go right ahead.
Yes, my website is very simply three words. All you need to know are the three words. There are many different websites out there on the web with my name, Jordan Maxwell. But there's only one website out there with my name on it, which belongs to me. Other people are using my name and using my work to make themselves money. But there's only one website that I actually have, and it's called JordanMaxwellShow.com. JordanMaxwellShow.com is my website. So if you're interested in talking to me or getting in touch with me, just go on the web to Jordan, like the River Jordan, Maxwell Show. And that's me. And I would be delighted to hear from you. JordanMaxwellShow.com. And thank you.
No, thank you. And I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Jean in the chat. I've already arranged something for the future for you. So don't let me forget that. Anyhow, regardless, I'm going to get to everybody in the chat fairly soon. But I want to turn the stage over to Jordan Maxwell, be it that it is Easter Sunday, Jordan. And this is one of your areas of expertise. Without further ado, I'm going to let you take it away and break it down however way you want it. If you need me, I'll be sure to step in, but I'm sure you won't. So go right ahead.
Well, what subject would you be interested in? Because I can pretty much go from the corner to anywhere. So,
be it that it's Easter Sunday, right? I wanted you to break down the origins of Easter. What are we actually doing here, right? Because in reality, and I'll be completely honest, a full disclosure, I am a Christian, but I know better about the origins of these things than to think that it is how it's explained to us, because it's just not the way it is. But go ahead, Jordan, break it down, Easter.
Well, Easter is a very, very ancient celebration of the season of spring. because you have to understand it's a very ancient ceremony celebrating the coming of the sun back to the northern hemisphere. The sun, and it's on the first day of summer. The first day of summer, the sun is as high in the northern hemisphere as it's going to go. And it's not going to go any higher in the northern hemisphere than the first day of summer. So we say that the sun is really hot. Now, let me preface his comments real quick by saying, who owns the sun? That's a very important question. Who owns the sun? Well, theoretically, we could say, since nobody on the earth owns the sun, and we don't know anybody else in the universe that would claim to own the sun, we have to assume, spiritually speaking, let's say God owns the sun. And so since there's only one sun, we don't have six of them, we only have one. And if God owns that sun, it's the only begotten son of God. God's son is the light of the world. And it's what the Bible says about Jesus. God's son is the light of the world, and he is our risen savior. And of course, the sun does rise every morning about 5 o'clock. It rises. And thank God it does rise, because it is your savior. Without the sun, the earth would be frozen stiff, and there would be no life on the earth, and there would be nobody here, no life forms at all on the earth without the sun. The sun gives energy and light and warmth and causes our food to grow and lets us grow. And so the ancient Egyptians said that the sun was pure energy. It had its own life. It was pure energy. But if it continues to give its energy away to all the planets and to our solar system, if it's giving its energy freely every day, energy is life. And so the ancient peoples of the world understood that the sun belongs to God. It's God's sun, and he is the light of the world. And so, but the sun was giving his energy so that the energy would grow food and keep you warm and make life livable for you on the earth. So therefore, symbolically speaking, God's son is giving his life so that you might live. He's giving his life so that you might live. And therefore, with the influence of God's energy in his son, there will be life on the earth forever. It will be everlasting life, meaning as long as the sun comes up in the morning, there will always be some kind of life on the earth, from dinosaurs millions of years ago to snakes and animals and all kinds of life forms that we have on the earth today, including us. We humans are here because there's energy from the sun that grows our food, and it is our risen Savior. And so the whole story in the New Testament is the story of God's Son, the light of the world, and the traveling through our skies and for each year. And so each year there were 12 signs of the zodiac representing the 12 months of the year. And so there are 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of night. And so the whole story of the New Testament about Christianity is actually a metaphor. It's a symbolic story that has nothing whatsoever to do with actual history. I do not believe, and I can think it's very obvious, it has nothing to do with actual history. It's a symbolic story. We call it the New Testament. And the story of Jesus is referred to as the greatest story ever told. Why? Because it is just a story, but it is the greatest story ever told. Why? Because it's the oldest story ever told. It's the story of our son. And the ancient and prehistoric peoples of the world, our ancestors tens of thousands of years ago, had all kinds of ideas about the sun, and they realized without the sun, there would be no life whatsoever, period. So they realized it came up every morning, so they called the sun. They said it was owned by God, so it was God's son. And he was the light of the world, and he was our risen Savior. And of course, the sun, as I said, is your risen Savior. So therefore, the whole story of the New Testament is not history, it's a symbolic story. And we hear all kinds of talk today about Bible codes. Well, that's another code that we don't talk about, is the entire story of Jesus in the New Testament is a Bible code. It's a symbolic code, and people are taking it for history. It is not history. It has nothing to do with actual history on the earth. It has to do with a symbolic story of the sun and its place in our human life on the earth. And so keeping that in mind, that Jesus is not, in point of fact, an actual man. Jesus represents God's Son, the light of the world. And of course, what else lights the world if it isn't sun, if it's not the sun? And so now getting back to Easter, the first day of summer, the sun is as high in the northern hemisphere as it's going to go. It's not going any further north than the first day of summer to us here in the northern hemisphere. Now, you need to also keep in mind that the sun moves each day 1 degree southward. Each day from the first day of summer, when the sun is as high in the northern hemisphere as it's going to go, on the first day, it's as high as it's going to go, and it's really hot. But each day is a degree, and so that's why we have a round sun calendar, a round calendar with 360 degrees, 360 points around the round calendar, which at 360 represents 360 days. And so the 360 days on a 360 degree round calendar, like your watch is a round calendar, and your watch being round has 12 signs, it has 12 points. And so every point is 1 point, 1 point, 2 point, 3. You go around the round calendar, and it's a 12 step program that the hands on your watch and clock is the 12 steps it makes each day. And so it's a 12-step program. Well, we know alcoholics have a 12-step program. We know you have a 12-step program when you go to school. You go from the first grade to the 12th grade, 12 steps that you make. And so in the ancient Egyptian world, we understood that the sun was called, the name of the sun was called Horus. H-O-R-U-S, Horus. Well, Horus, we say in the ancient Egyptians, said Horus rose in the morning. He was our risen Savior. Well, of course, the sun is your risen Savior. If it don't come up, we're dead. But they said that Horus walked across the sky in 12 steps. So when it came up in the morning, it was Horus of the first step. Then a little bit later, it would be Horus of the second step, Horus of the third step, Horus of the fourth step. And when Horus made the sixth step, it's directly overhead now. And Horus became known as the Most High God. He was the Most High. Why? Because 12 noon is called 12 high noon, because the sun doesn't get any higher than 12 noon. So Horus walked across the sky in 12 steps. And so he was our risen Savior. So that's where we get the word horizon. Horus is rising, and he rises and walks across the sky in 12 steps. Where does he come from? Where did he start? He starts on the horizon, Horus rising. And so now we get back to Easter. So now the 12 steps are actually the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 signs on the breastplate of the Jewish high priest, the 12 brothers of Joseph, the 12 apostles of Jesus. Everything in the Bible is in the configuration of 12. 12 is very important. Why? Because there are 12 months in the year. There are 12 signs of the zodiac. And so the Horus walks across the sky in 12 steps. And so you spell Horus, H-O-R-U-S. Horus was the name of the sun god in Egypt. But we changed it. And today in the Roman Empire and in America today, we've changed Horus. It's no longer H-O-R-U-S. It's H-O-U-R-S. You interchange the R to U, R and U to U and R. So it becomes 12 hours. 12 H-O-U-R-S, not 12 H-O-R-U-S, Horuses. And so Horus was the sun god who walked across the sky in 12 steps. And he brought light, L-I-G-H-T. He brought light into our world. So we, the animals of the earth, the humans and animals, and all life forms on the earth have eyes so we can see. But without the sun, there would be no light on the earth. And for we humans, we have to have artificial light at night in our homes because we can't see without light. And so he was referred to as the light of the world because the sun does light the world. So now we get back to the same story before. So in the northern hemisphere, on the first day of summer, the sun is really hot. And the constellation that officially opens up summer is the constellation of the zodiological constellation of Leo, Leo the lion. And in the ancient world, the sun was called the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the Christians have heard that term, and I know the Jews and Christians have heard that term, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Disney makes movies about the Lion King. The Lion King is the sun in the constellation of Leo, the lion. The Lion King is the lion of summer. He's really hot. But later on, 90 degrees later, or 90 days later, from the first day of summer, you officially hit the what we call the autumnal equinox. We hit autumn. So he used to be really hot. This guy was really hot, God's son. But now he's still warm, but he's not really hot anymore. So he has fallen from his position as the lion of the tribe of Judah and the constellation of Leo. Now in the fall, he's no longer hot. He's no longer that hot. He has fallen. So we call it fall. And so in fall, the constellation that initiates fall that we are referred to as the zodiological constellation of Scorpio, the scorpion. And so on Scorpio, when the sun is in the fall, that's the constellation of Scorpio, scorpions were known as backbiters. They were very treacherous and deadly. They were backbiters. That's why we have Judas goes out and kisses Jesus. It doesn't say that Judas went out and kissed Jesus to identify him, because everybody knows Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the authorities that were coming to arrest him, they knew where Jesus was. They knew where he was. It's not like he was living in Chicago. It's just a little town in the Middle East thousands of years ago, and they would have already known, the Roman soldiers would already know where he is, and it's very simple to find him because it's just a little village that you can walk across in a half hour. So it's not like he's living in New York City or anything like that. So why did Judas go out and kiss Jesus? It's because he didn't kiss him to identify him. Judas, we are told, goes out and kisses God's son to betray him. This is why when you are in the Middle East, if you get stung by a scorpion, they're deadly. And if you get stung by a scorpion, it leaves a cut. The scorpion will leave a cut on your skin. And the cut on your skin is two small cuts. And the two small cuts that the scorpion leaves on your skin looks like human lips. And so they say in the ancient world that you got the kiss of death. He has just kissed you off. He's kissed you off and you're going to die. Now you're going to die because Scorpio begins fall. And you've already fallen. Now you got the kiss of death and now you're really going to fall. Now you're going to go from fall from the scorpion, who is the backbiter, who has betrayed you. He's not identified. He betrayed you. And you are already in a weak condition, and now he comes in, Scorpio, the constellation, and has given you the kiss of death, and now you're going to die. And now you go further south, leaving the northern hemisphere, and we're getting into winter now. We're getting cold, but Rio in the southern hemisphere is getting close to summer because the sun is going down south. And so as the sun goes south, it keeps going south because it's got 90 degrees. It's got 90 degrees to go, which is 90 days, which is 3 months. And so in 3 months from the beginning of fall, you now have the official beginning of the season of winter. So now winter is now December 22nd, the official beginning of winter. And so what is interesting is that the sun has been moving each day 1 degree. It's been moving 1 degree each day. And so now it's moved 90 days later from fall. It has now reached December 22nd. And on December 22nd, it doesn't go any further south than December 22nd. It stays right there on that 1 degree. And for 3 days, it comes up on the same identical degree according to the U.S. Navy equipment. And the ancient peoples knew it did not move 1 degree northward or southward. December 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, the sun comes up on the southern hemisphere on the exact same degree. And it was moving 1 degree each day, but it don't move for 3 days. So it was said that God's son, the light of the world, who was the lion of the tribe of Judah, but he got betrayed and fell. And fall, and now he's in winter. Now for 3 days, the sun does not move. So anything that was moving for 3 days and don't move at all, the ancient people, the Egyptians said, God's son has died for 3 days. He's dead for 3 days in his tomb. Why? Because he hasn't moved for 3 days. He's on the same exact degree when everybody knows the sun moves 1 degree every day. But on December 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, it don't move at all. So therefore, God's Son, the light of the world, our risen Savior, is now dead for 3 days. It hasn't moved. But on December 25th, the morning of the 25th, according to the best instruments we have, according to ancients with their sundials, the sun moved 1 degree. 1 degree on December 25th, but it moved 1 degree northward. It doesn't go any further south. It moves 1 degree northward, which, of course, everybody said, thank God, the sun is not dead. He has been born again. He's now come back because he promised he would come back. And so this was the coming of the Lord. He said he would come back, and now he's coming back. So now for 90 more degrees or 90 more days, the sun is now traveling back to the northern hemisphere. And as it comes back to the number 90 degrees, it crosses over from ancient southern hemisphere. The sun is now moving northward. Each day, 1 degree, or 1 day a day, 1 day, or 1 degree. And so for 90 days, it finally crosses over the equator coming back to the northern hemisphere. And when it does, all of a sudden on the Earth, everything starts to grow again in the northern hemisphere. All the ice is melting. And thank God, God's son is resurrected. He's come back to life. He is what you might say it was dead in winter, but he is now springing back to life. So on the first day as it crosses over the equator, the ancient Egyptians said that they celebrated, and the ancient peoples of the northern hemisphere celebrated something called the Passover. The Jews celebrate something called the Passover. Why? Because it's the same week, almost the same day that Christians celebrate what we call Easter. Or Easter is the resurrection of God's Son. That's why people, the Christians, go out on Easter morning. They go out at 4 o'clock in the morning and wait for the sun to rise. The actual physical sun rises. And it's called an Easter sunrise service, where Christians are going out to show admiration and to worship God's Son, the light of the world, our great master, our great spiritual leader and master who has given us life. And as long as he rises, there will always be life on the earth. So he is our risen Savior. And of course, the Son is your risen Savior. If it don't come up, we're dead. And so Christians are now out waiting.
That's my music. We're going to the other side, okay? Everybody stick around. I'll ask the questions to them, okay? It's the Infinite Frame.
You're listening to Truth Frequency Radio.
We are TFR.
How's everybody doing? My name is Billy Ray Valentine. Welcome back to the Infinite Fringe, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. My name is Billy Ray Valentine. I got the legendary Jordan Maxwell here with me today on this Easter Sunday. Thank you for everyone that is hanging out with me today. I want to shout out the chat real quick before we go back to Jordan and let him finish wrapping up what he was talking about. So I want to say what's up to Sophia. Lucky, how are you, Lucky? TFR Wookie, what's going on? Melissa Taylor, too. How are you? D3N1, what's going on? Salamo, coming soon to an Infinite Fringe near you. What's up, Salamo? How's it going? Zeraloth, how are you? Good to see you. Blue Lights, what's going on? Blue Lights, I'm not sure I understand your question 100, but we're going to try it, okay? Give me a second on that, though. Jordan McCraw, what is going on, Jordan? How are you? Greetings to you and your family. Drone Free Zone wanted to shout out Shauna and her jeans. What's up, Shauna? Shouts to you and your jeans. I'm sure you look great. What's up, Drone Free? Alchemical Tech One. It's Wayne McCroy. For you guys that don't know, he will be live on the Infinite Fringe May 19th right here talking about his new book. Make sure you guys go get that, all right? It's on Amazon. Heal Thyself. Greetings to you. Love and everything. Thank you for everything you do. Rio, good to see you, Rio. How are you? Jimmy Jean, the Gigolo Jimmy Jean. we're setting up an interview with Mr. Maxwell. We're going to talk all about Manly P. Hall. Hopefully it'll be me and Jimmy and Jordan, God willing. Vladik 73, how are you? Lone Wolf. What's going on, Lone Wolf? How are you, buddy? Alone. You mentioned something about King Solomon that I do want to get to because Jordan breaks that down very well. What's up, Alone? Dawns to you too. Greetings to you. Gemini, how are you? And relaxed mind. That's the chat. Thank you, all of you guys, for hanging out on an Easter Sunday. I very much appreciate it. I hope you guys are having a good time with your family. Real quick on Wayne McCroy's book. It's the Autism Epidemic, Transhumanism's a Dirty Little Secret. Go check it. I ordered mine on Amazon. It's probably waiting for me when I get home. Jordan Maxwell is here with me. Jordan's greetings to you. I want you to pick up where you left off and take as much time as you need. Go right ahead.
Okay. Now, so the point being is that we're talking about the traveling of the sun in our skies, in our particular solar system. Mankind has been watching the sun come up and go down, come up and go down for tens of thousands of years, for as long as mankind has been on the earth, whatever that is. Because we know the earth has an ancient history. But people have always, humans have always recognized that there's a war in heaven between God's son and his evil brother we call evil, E-V-I-L. You take a D, as in David, you take the D and put it in front of the word evil, it becomes devil. So the devil is simply a D in front of the word evil. And the devil has always been represented by being a dark force in the universe. He's the prince of darkness. And so the sun, as it passes over the equator, is now coming back to the northern hemisphere to bring its warmth and life back to us, so that we will now be able to melt and get rid of all the snow and the ice and the freezing cold. And now the plants and the flowers and all of our food begins to grow. And this is why even we begin to grow and we become thinking. And then we begin to think about getting married and having children or raising, you know, new life. This is what the plants do and this is what the animals do and this is what we do. That's why we have spring wedding. Because you have a wedding in spring, because everything else is reproducing and growing and starting all over again. So we have a spring wedding to celebrate the Passover, because the sun has passed over the eclipse. It's passed over the ecliptical and now is coming back to the northern hemisphere. So the day it crosses over, we call it crossing over or passing over, and that's a Jewish celebration for the sun passing over the equator. But of course that's Jewish, and Christians would have nothing to do with the Jewish celebration. So we have something called the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection of God's Son, the light of the world. And so the resurrection is, of course, resurrecting the sun means bringing the sun back to the northern hemisphere. It's resurrected. It's come back to us. So we celebrate it, and we call it Easter, because the sun is a star, and it rises in the east. And so, you know, women in the Freemasonry are called Eastern Star, because the Eastern Star is the sun, and it is passing over or passed over the equator. And so now the sun is heading back to the first day of spring, because he was dead in the winter. He is now springing back to life in the spring. And now he comes back to the land of the tribe of Judah. And so in the spring is related to the constellation of the female symbol in the zodiac, because each month each one of the seasons is represented by one of the symbols of the zodiac. And so the zodiological symbol of the female, or the virgin, Virgo, the Virgin, is a constellation of the zodiac. So that's why Jesus is born of a virgin. God's Son, the light of the world, our risen Savior, is born of a virgin. Virgo, the constellation of the zodiac called Virgo. Virgo is used in relation to the spring. So this is why Jesus is born of a virgin, because he's now reborn in the spring. He's come back to life. He is now resurrected, or is passed over the equator. And so that's where we get the celebration of Easter, because the sun is a star. It rises in the east. So we call it Easter, East Star, Easter. And that's where it comes from. So today we're celebrating the sun finally coming back to our northern hemisphere, because it's been really cold up here in the wintertime. And we're now beginning to see the sun coming back to us, which down south in the southern hemisphere is now their fall, because now they're losing the sun again. This is why when the sun goes southward, the birds fly southward. Why? Because you've got to stay here in the north and endure the freezing winter and go to work. But the birds don't. They fly south. They want to go down south where the sun is and enjoy the warm sun, because they don't want to live in the freezing cold. You live in the freezing cold, not them. They go south for the summer. And so that's why today we have a celebration of the sun that's come back to the northern hemisphere, and we call it Easter. No, it's the sun passing over the equator officially. So the Jews today, we call it the Passover. Christians call it Easter, or the resurrection of the sun. It all has to do with astrology. That's why we have 12 months of the year, the 12 brothers of Joseph, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles of Jesus. Jesus has 12 helpers. Yeah, from January to December, each one of those months are represented by a person. There are 12 apostles. And if you will look at the painting of the Last Supper, that Leonardo da Vinci or Michelangelo, I think it was Da Vinci who painted the Last Supper. You will see Jesus on his right-hand side is one of the apostles sitting next to him. And the apostle sitting next to Jesus on his right is a woman. One of the 12 apostles is a woman. Why? Because it has to be. One of the 12 signs of the zodiac is a Virgo. Virgo, the virgin. You use that term in relation to the female. And her name was Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus. No, not M-A-R-Y. The word is correctly M-A-R-I, not M-A-R-Y. Mari. M-A-R-I was Virgo. Why? Because Mari in Latin means pure, pure and holy, something which is pure. And so we say that the girl who's never laid with a man is pure. She's Mari. Mari means a Virgo. She's a virgin. And so therefore, the virgin gives birth to God's Son, the light of the world. So all of this is actually astrology. The whole symbolism of our religions in the northern hemisphere is all based on the sun roaming around the heavens all day. And so that's why today, in our world today, we say that the sun is our risen Savior. He's roaming around heaven. He's gone all the way down. He died in the winter. He's now come back. He's springing back to life in spring. And so that's what we're doing today. We're all celebrating the idea that the sun has come back. He promised he would return, and he does. He's returning today. So now you can say, according to the sun passing over the equator, he is born to us. He's come back to life for us. So he's born again. And this is why, you know, we now have the celebration of Easter. That's where it all comes from. Keep in mind that the most ancient story in the world has always been, this is why the Bible is referred to as the greatest story ever told. The greatest story ever told was the war in heaven between God's son and the evil brother, the devil. So Jesus represents the son, and the prince of darkness is called evil or the devil. Because it gets, when it gets dark, evil things happen in the dark. So we say evil, put a D in front of it, becomes devil. And so the devil is the prince of darkness, and he is the enemy of God's son, the light of the world. And so every morning, God's son chases the devil away from the world. The evil prince of darkness is chased away. And now we can all come out into the world and eat and grow, and we're warm, and we can live our lives. But at the evening, God's son dies, and he leaves the world. He's born at Horus on the horizon, Horus rising, and for 12 steps he walks across heaven. Now the sun represents light, L-I-G-H-T, and light in Latin, going back to the ancient Egyptians, if you trace the word light back to the Egyptians, it becomes luce, L-U-C. Luce was light, and in Latin it's Lucius. Lucius was light. And therefore, if you were going to personify, make a person out of light for the story, for the symbolic story, the light would be called Luke. And this is why Luke, one of the temples in Egypt was called the Temple of Luxor. L-U-X was light. Lux, Luke, L-U-K-E. And so Luke becomes Luke Skywalker. In the great story of the Star Wars, Luke Skywalker, because the sun walks across the step, walks across the sky in 12 steps. So that's where we get Luke Skywalker, and he's doing battle with the evil prince of darkness, Darth Vader. And Darth Vader's wearing the black robe, implying this is the evil one. He's in the black robe, and he talks through the triangle. And the triangle is a symbol for the occult secret societies of the world. This is what George Lucas is trying to tell you. The old story of the war between light and darkness, between God's son, for 12 hours, he chases the devil away, and then he dies and leaves the world in the total hands of the prince of darkness. So the world is in the prince of darkness's hand until Jesus is born again, and he comes back and chases that devil away, and we now have the light of God again, the light of the world. And so that's the name of the tune, and you could go into this for hours and explain all the stories in the Old and the New Testament in relation to Jesus being a symbol of the Son. There was no actual man. There was a metaphor. It's a symbolic story of the war between the sun and the prince of darkness, between the evil one. And that's what we've been doing all of our lives for thousands of years, and watching the war that's breaking out in heaven. The war in heaven is between the prince of darkness and God's son, the light of the world. Today, we call it Easter because the sun is a star, rises in the east, so we call it Easter. So that's the name of the tune. That's who we are today. We are still worshiping the sun as we always have. That's why we go to church on Sunday, spell S-U-N, day, Sunday, because you go to worship the sun on Sunday. He's God's son, the light of the world. So I'm just saying that once you understand that Christianity is actually the old ancient Egyptian sun worship, going all the way back into ancient Egypt, and so now once you start doing that kind of research, then you will find that Christianity and Judaism, both, and also parts of Islam, but especially Christianity and Judaism, can be traced back to an earlier religion. They're not custom religions. They were, Christianity and Judaism came from another religion. the religion that gave birth to our modern-day religion is Hinduism. Christianity is a Hindu religion based on the old ancient Hindu religion of India. And the religion of Judaism, Judaism is a purely Hindu religion. It's all based on the worship of the sun worship coming from India. And the Egyptians learned it, and they taught it also. So it's a cross between Hinduism and Egyptian. Both religions venerate the sun, and so do we. The Jews today are still worshiping the sun on the sun's pass over the equator, on the Passover. And so we, being Christians, we don't want to say anything about the Passover. That's Jewish. So we say it's resurrected. Well, it doesn't matter if it's resurrected or it's passed over. The bottom line is the sun has finally come back to the northern hemisphere. So that's where we are. That's who we are. We're still worshiping the sun. Well, it's really quite a story.
It's a hell of a breakdown, and it's kind of hard to argue the way it was broken down. And I'm sure everybody here on TFR already knows the deal. Go look it up for yourself, you know? Thank you, Jordan. We appreciate your breakdown. Now, there were several questions that came down through the span of the hour here, and I don't know if we'll have enough time to get all of them in. We'll have Jordan back. We were supposed to have Jordan on for a call, and unfortunately, the call board never works for me. But Blue Lights, let me pull up your question, Blue Lights.
Let me say something here.
Absolutely, go ahead.
You are broadcasting from Washington, D.C. Is that right?
A one-time deal, but yes.
Yeah, but you are broadcasting from Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Well, something I'd like for you to know, that when I was growing up as a child, my mother used to always tell me that she said, don't ever forget you and my family, my mother's family. She said, my family is the Carroll family. You come from the Carroll family. And she would always spell it for me, C-A-R-R-O-L-L, Carroll. She said, you are part of the family of the Carroll family of Maryland and Washington, D.C., the Carroll family. Well, of course, as a 7 or 8 year old child, I didn't understand the implications of what she was saying, and I didn't care. It didn't matter to me. But she used to tell me all the time, you're from the Carroll family. Well, it was not until about the year 2000, I found a book called The Rulers of Evil by Tupper Saucy. Rulers of Evil was a book written about the founding of the United States of America and Washington, D.C. It's a history book, a profoundly interesting history book. And it talks about the wealthiest man in the 13 colonies before it became one nation, before it became the United States, the colonies. The wealthiest single man in all of the 13 colonies was a man named John Carroll, John C. Carroll. And John Carroll owned a very large farm in Maryland. A very large farm, and so he was very close. He was very, very wealthy, and he owned this huge farm. And so, when George Washington wanted to set up a government for the new country called the United States, he turned to his friend John C. Carroll, who had helped George Washington finance the American Revolution. John C. Carroll put up the money to pay the troops for the American Revolution. He was a Catholic Jesuit. He was a Jesuit Catholic banker, extremely wealthy as being one of the wealthiest people in the colonies at that time, but he was a Catholic Jesuit. And I was raised in the Catholic Church too. And so my mother used to tell me, you are from the Carroll family. Well, John C. Carroll, in the book, Rulers of Evil, is talked about how he put up the money for the American Revolution, and he took 10 miles square of his great farm that he owned, a massive, massive farm. he owned, but he gave to George Washington, deeded it to him, 10 square miles, and gave it to George Washington and said, here, put your government, your federal government, here, I'll give you the land. I'm donating it to the people of America and to the United States people. So George Washington took that 10-mile square and called it Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia. Why? Because Columbia goes back to Columbus, who supposedly, we're told, discovered America. And then North America is the District of Columbus. This is where he discovered, was Columbus discovered America. And so it's called District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. And so later on, that caught my attention. And then one day, the movie came out, National Treasure. That was an extraordinary movie, National Treasure. And I was shocked to find in the movie National Treasure, the entire show, the movie was about the John C. Carroll family. And the entire movie of National Treasure was about John Carroll helping George Washington, giving him the 10 miles square to set up Washington, D.C. What I'm saying is that it finally dawned on me what was going on. My mother told me that she was from the Carroll family, of the Carroll family from Washington, D.C. So the bottom line is the ancestors of my mother and my family were the people, was the guy who actually owned the property that is today called Washington, D.C. Jordan Maxwell's mother was a Carroll from the Carroll family who owned that property and gave it to Jordan, gave it to George Washington for the new government. And this is why it's in Maryland, because it goes back to the Vatican. It goes back to Catholic and Jesuit. This is why you call it Maryland. It's Maryland, the land of Mary. And so Maryland is the worship of the mother of Jesus, Mary. No, Mari, M-A-R-I. Go look it up in the dictionary. Mari is a virgin. That's why Jesus is born of a virgin. And so Jesus is a son born in the constellation of Virgo, and when it comes back to life in the spring.
Very good, Mr. Maxwell. We have a minute and a half left. Tell everybody where they can find. First of all, thank you for coming on with me on Easter Sunday. And I want to thank everybody who's joining me, listening to me live right now, and everybody in the chat. I appreciate it. Thank you for hanging with me. I'll be back next week live, God willing. It's the Infinite Fringe. Jordan, tell them where they can find you.
Yes, and remember, my website is Jordan Maxwell Show. And when you go on my website to Jordan Maxwell Show, there will be another website that I have put on there. It's called Jordan Maxwell Research Society. It's a research website in which I have had my webmaster upload all of my research, from all the audio and video and documents and pictures, explaining all the dark, strange stuff of the world that no one's ever told you, all the hidden stuff, the occult stuff on secret societies and who runs the banks, who owns your government, and how does the world really work. So you might want to go on my Jordan Maxwell Show and join my research society, and that's where I'm putting all of my work. I'm not putting it out there for free anymore. People who get things for free don't really appreciate them. So I have to pay for the website. I have to pay my webmaster. So join the Jordan Maxwell Research Society and you will see all of my work. It's all there.
All right, there you go.
Do your own research.
Hold on.